Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. How about this? Matt Darragh's going to stay for one more segment because he is one hell of a model American. He is a fantastic man, a man. She does yeoman's work. He is one of our favorites. The estimable Matt Darragh, presented by Cap One Lending, is hanging out with us at Trailside RV. Maybe that's why he's hanging out for one more segment, is that we get to hang out next to these RVs and see how beautiful these things are, and getting everybody ready for the open house, the 40th anniversary celebration open house tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., where they will have tons of specials and discounts and all these different incentives, and there'll be door prizes and gifts for each family, accessories, all the stuff. They got food tomorrow as well for the family, the kids. It's a Trailside RV off of I-70, exit 24 in Grain Valley. Well, thank you for hanging out one more segment, Matt.
I mean, I want to hang out for one more segment for three reasons.
Okay.
One is that I'm still waiting to see if the hot dogs and hamburgers for tomorrow come early.
That's right. They need a trial run just to make sure.
I have no doubt that the people at Trailside RV know how to cook hamburgers and hot dogs.
Oh, that's a good point.
See? So that's a great point. That's one. Two, I wanted to be able to point out that if you heard Mike Borgonzi's accent earlier, then you can draw a direct line and connection to seventh-round draft pick C.J. Hansen from Holy Cross.
Oh, that's a great point. I didn't realize that.
The Boston guy is definitely scouting Wooster.
He was staying on the table and pounding the table for C.J. Hansen.
He's scouting Wooster. There's no doubt about that. And then three, anything I can do to, you know, reduce the level of Sterling for the audience.
Dog.
I was waiting until we got something about Sterling.
Dog.
I was waiting until he got there.
You know what? I was about to say something so kind. I was about to say, wow, another segment with Matt Darragh. You know what? Jason, we should put up his name in the ring of honor that we're going to build around the studio in here. I thought Matt Darragh's name should be the first one up in the ring of honor for our guests. And he comes off the top rope and just smacks me down. Just brings me way down, Matt. I am hurt. I am sad. I won't cry, okay? I won't cry, Matt, but I'm considering it.
See, but, you know, just like my faux hatred for the Kingsley Suamata-Ia pick and my you know, throwing the highlighter at the TV, you know, it's all WWE, Sterling. I mean, we're just doing this because it's good radio, man. I mean, that's the only reason I hate you.
Doesn't feel fake. Does not feel fake.
It's a work, not a shoot, man.
We always have power ballads, man. You know that.
Well, power ballads sing about sorrow, and that's why I always have one on when you come on.
Oh, there you go. See, I like that. There we go. Never getting to the nitty gritty.
Hey, as Skid Row once said, I will remember you.
You know that one, Sterling. You get that reference, right?
Doing a show feels like 18 in life.
I would totally join in, but this is out of my
range. Oh, yeah, we've really gotten hip deep now.
Quicksand Jesus? What, because I'm in a darkened room? Is that what you're like right now? You feel like you're in a darkened room with these poles?
No, I just believe in the alchemy. What's up?
I was waiting for Matt Darragh to respond. I thought we were kind of doing
trying to stifle my laughter too hard, so I was silently cracking up at that one.
All right, so I want to talk about the Chiefs' offense this year, because I was looking into a number of different things. And look, I'm excited about what the Chiefs can do this year on offense. I'm excited about the Jared Wiley pick, which I want to talk to you about, Matt, and get your thoughts on with what he can bring to the table. But I was looking at a couple of different websites that, you know, we had Matt Harmon from Reception Perception on yesterday. And so I was looking at a number of different websites that study receivers, right, that their sort of main job is the wide receiver breakdown. And Football Insights, one of those, and Scott Barrett of Dynasty Fantasy Football, but it's not just fantasy football. There's a fantasy football sort of look at it, but it's an overall breakdown of what the wide receivers bring. And there's a few things he was talking about, and I just want to throw these out there just for what Xavier Worthy in the comparables that he might have. Because we've heard DeSean Jackson, right?
Right.
The ignorance is Tyreek Hill. So that's absurd. I've pushed back on DeSean Jackson only because I hate using outliers as a comp. That, oh, no, DeSean Jackson did it as a small-bodied guy, so Xavier Worthy can do it. Okay, and? Devontae Smith, and?
Yeah.
Okay. They're few and far between.
It's been 30 years since receivers of that size have consistently put up big numbers. Because players continue to get bigger and bigger, faster and stronger, and smaller guys have a challenge.
Except for B.J. West, who we may talk about as well at some point. But top freshman wide receivers by Dominator rating, which is a Scott Barrett stat. It takes minutes. It looks at yards per game. It looks at yards after catch. It looks at yards depth of target, yards per reception, all of those things. Top freshman wide receiver seasons by rating. Number one, Sidney Rice in 2005. Number two, Larry Fitzgerald in 02. Number three, Calvin Johnson in 04. Number four, Xavier Worthy in 21. Number five, Michael Crabtree in 07. Number six, Julio Jones in 2008. And his point was talking about early success is a decent indicator of success and age, sort of that combination of how old you are versus the success you have. It was one of the issues he had with Xavier Leggett. Is he was really concerned about Leggett because he had no success until he was 24 years old.
Exactly.
Right? And Xavier Worthy was 18 years old, by the way, when he was doing that at Texas. Okay, so he was an 18-year-old that was, I think he was maybe just turned 19, 19, 20. No, he was 18.
The one
he
I
just
saw,
turned
Jason,
21.
Was 18.4 was his actual breakout age, was 18.4. So take that as you will.
So he was 18 years old.
That's ridiculous.
So he was 18 years old when he put up the numbers that are comparative to Sidney Rice in 05, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Michael Crabtree, and Julio Jones. The yards after catch per reception breakdown is something that he looks at, and it's like, okay, so yards after catch per reception, but then you look at when you remove screens and you remove deep balls. So like just the go ball and the screens. Okay, well, that's going to kill Xavier Worthy, right? Isn't that going to hurt him? He had a lot of screens. He had deep shots, right? And your yards after catch, you catch the ball at the 30-yard line on a deep shot, there's 30 yards after the catch because you just outrun the guy to the end zone. Well, yeah, you're going to get a lot of yak. Well, what happens when you erase screens and deep balls? What's the yards after catch per reception breakdown? Number one was Brock Bowers. Number two, Taj Washington, and he's with the Dolphins, so that's sort of scary. Number three, Malachi Corley, which is a guy whose entire profile is a yak guy. Number four, Xavier Worthy. When you take screens and the deep ball away, he's still the fourth highest yards after catch per reception in the entire draft class. Last was A.D. Mitchell.
Wow.
Taking away screens and deep shots, he averaged 2.6 yards after catch per reception was A.D. Mitchell. Even though he put up crazy numbers with touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy was essentially the guy that was getting all the yak. And I thought that was just really interesting, sort of looking at that perspective and looking at what Xavier Worthy did as a freshman, that, you know, that's not just a guy that was you're just going to throw it deep because he's so small. Yet his yards after catch, still one of the tops in the entire wide receiver class when you take away the deep shots and the screens. Because I would have said, okay, he's got a great yards after catch, Matt. Well, yeah, because he's getting quick screens down the line of scrimmage at Texas. He's going to get that with the Chiefs. He's going deep. Okay, yards after catch, that's a little bit of a skewed stat. So I loved that stat just to see what the real sort of yards after catch when you're just running your regular routes, intermediate, short routes that aren't screen passes, things like that.
Yeah. And to me, I mean, and this is where I will bring in the Tyreek comparison, but not for the reasons that you're thinking about. But, and this is the kind of a dual answer to it. I mean, one, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to make a comparison for weight worthy to DeSean Jackson or Tyreek Hill as far as their career peaks and what they did, because that's just asking for trouble. But if you're talking about the transition to the NFL and making an impact immediately and what your chances of doing that are, I mean, you've listed off a couple of really good reasons to believe why this guy can come in and immediately make an impact. Look at what even Tyreek did as a rookie. And remember then that Tyreek had almost no experience as a wide receiver until he got to Kansas City. I mean, he was a running back, for crying out loud. And in three of his four college seasons, he had literally zero competition. So he was just out there basically just running around by. He was basically out there doing gassers the entire time with the football in his hand and just running around guys that didn't had no chance of touching him.
All right, looks like Matt Derrick and Jason Anderson just got a little disconnected there, so we'll get them back on in just a moment. I was actually looking to see where Matt Derrick was going to go with the Tyreek comparison because I was getting ready to yell at him. I was getting ready to just basically say, come on, I don't care how you're comparing Xavier Worthy to Tyreek Hill. I don't want to hear it. But I think he was getting somewhere there that I was getting intrigued by. So we'll get back on Matt Derrick and Jason Anderson in just a moment. But I think what Jason and Matt were talking about was very interesting and something I have tried to look at as well. There's a really good indication of how a guy is going to perform and translate to the NFL based on their relative breakout age, right? As they were alluding to, Xavier Leggett did not break out until his fifth year at South Carolina, well down the road. When you look at the breakout age for Xavier Worthy, it was 18.4, which, again, strong indicator of success into the NFL. Jason, Matt, we got you back now, fellas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we do. Yeah, sorry about that. Somebody did not want us on the air. They came over here and they just unplugged the equipment. It was weird. And they ran.
I heard sure Matt Derrick make a comparison to Tyreek Hill, and then immediately they're like,
yeah, that's
no.
Right.
The ether said, no, dude.
Not, just cut him off. Cut him off.
It's a great point. The sports radio gods were like, you know what? I can't have another. I don't care what you're going to say here, Tyreek Hill. I'm going to compare him to Tyreek Hill. Click.
Second time I've gotten hung up on a week.
So continue your Tyreek Hill point.
Which was that, you know, I'm not saying that he can have the career peaks that a Tyreek Hill or a DeSean Jackson had, because that's still to come. I mean, and that's too much to put on any kid. But can he make an impact immediately? I think that the chance is there, because you look at those numbers. Those are ridiculous numbers. You look at the fact that he's been a three-year starter in college. He's been so much more productive in college than, I mean, Tyreek was, because Tyreek's experience was, like I said, I mean, in 3 years he had no competition, and he was a running back. He wasn't primarily a receiver. Most of his catches were just out of the backfield, and it was him getting yacked by just outrunning guys. So Worthy has so much more experience, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody, but he is small, but then again, he's like an inch and a half taller than Tyreek was. And even though Tyreek was thicker and bulkier, one, you know, his realistic weight that he played in college was higher than his combine weight, because he tried to get the record for the 40 time. So
yeah,
he lost
agreed.
Some weight to try and get that record. So I think Texas listed him at 172.
Mm-hmm.
175 was probably a more realistic weight. Chiefs feel like they can put another 10 pounds on him easily and get him to 185. And if you're 5'10", 185, now you're starting to think, okay, well, this guy, that's big enough that he can hold up to the NFL hits and everything. I mean, you're still going to be worried when he takes a pop. And that's, to me, the only real worry about his production is availability. You know, is he going to get hurt? Is that, you know, possible with his frame the way that it is? Because I don't think there's a whole lot of question about whether or not this guy can make plays. He's proven that. And he's done it at top-level competition.
And he plays with the toughness. He doesn't just run out of bounds. He lowers his shoulder. I think the comparison I saw somebody say, it might have been Sam Monson, that said, Xavier Worthy isn't the last 2 years of Isaac Bruce's career, where anytime there was somebody within 5 yards,
doesn't
he just laid down, like a sack of potatoes, I think is what he said. Isaac Bruce, the last 2 years, was trying to extend his career, and that makes sense. But anytime there was somebody about to hit him, I'm just going to lay down like a sack of potatoes. Okay, that's fine. But he doesn't do that, right? I mean, he's a smaller guy. I wanted to throw two more things out there just in comparisons for Xavier Worthy and names that are there. And a comparison I've seen since last night and looking at different things including hearing Eric DaCosta earlier in that conversation say, we liked Xavier Worthy, but we think he's a lot like Zay Flowers. So it would have been redundant for us to have Xavier Worthy pick him there. Like, we liked the player. We weren't going to take him. Even if Xavier Worthy was there, we weren't taking him because he's Zay Flowers to us. Which is interesting because that was like the second time yesterday I had heard somebody say, Xavier Worthy is way more Zay Flowers than he is DeSean Jackson. Okay, so hearing that, looking at the 2023 and 2024 wide receiver draft classes, yards after catch per reception compared to average depth of target. Okay, so it's one of those plot graphs, right, to where the top right is where you want to be.
Plot graph.
The longest depth of target, and you're also getting yards after catch, right, per reception. So the top right is where the studs are going to be. Bottom left is where you're getting short routes and also not picking up yak. That's a tough spot to be. For instance, the last 2 years, X Hutchinson, Bobo, Restrepo, Fleming, Gadsden, Sturdivant. those were the guys that were on the bottom left.
Who's that?
Yes. Here are the names that Xavier Worthy is next to. All, this is the last two draft classes. Xavier Worthy, Puka Nacua, Zay Flowers, Malik Nabers, and Jalin Hyatt. So you've got Puka Nacua, Zay Flowers, and Malik Nabers. That's there in average depth of target. That's the last 2 years. Those are the guys he's with in the top right quadrant.
Good company.
What if we go back to 2014? The 2014 draft class, including this draft class, career average depth of target in college with yards after the catch. So top right quadrant. Here's Xavier Worthy. Here is who he's with. Zay Flowers, Puka Nacua, Jamar Chase, Jerry Jeudy, Deontay Johnson, DK Metcalf, Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb. Malik Nabers is in there as well. Is in there as well. And Quentin Johnston shows up in that one. But let me read the names that he is that are all around him again. DK Metcalf, Puka Nacua, Jamar Chase, Zay Flowers, Jahan Dotson. No, actually, that's an arrow pointing up to Jahan. So Jahan Dotson is below him. Deontay Johnson, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, and Hollywood Brown.
That's a pretty good group to be in. I mean,
so to me, it's another point of data that, well, this guy just runs deep, and his yards after catch are based on him running deep. Well, his average depth of target is pretty big. It's pretty long. I mean, he's getting targeted down the field. But his yards after catch, when taking into account average depth of target, those guys aren't just deep threats. You know, Nakua's not a deep threat. Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, Hollywood Brown, Jamar Chase, Javonte Williams from Alabama. With the Detroit Lions, and Jameson Williams is his name. And I'm not saying he's going to be any of those guys, right? I'm not saying that Xavier Worthy is going to be those guys. To me, it's just sort of data points of saying, this is a guy that isn't just a deep threat. He's not just a screens guy, that he can run routes. And it's another comparison that's right next to him has been Zay Flowers in both of those. And Eric DaCosta in that podcast says, we viewed Xavier Worthy as Zay Flowers. And I've seen two more comparisons when I just started looking it up. And it was actually, this guy's more Zay Flowers than he is DeSean Jackson. I'm looking at Zay Flowers as being Xavier Worthy, which is interesting because I love Zay Flowers.
And this is, and how many times did we all talk about last year about, this Chiefs offense had Zay Flowers on it would be incredible. But that's part, that's the thing. When you talk about elite receivers, and that list is a very good example of it, there are elite receivers who are going to be elite receivers no matter where they are. Mm-hmm. The question, though, about to me is it's that group that what are they when they're in the right system and what can they do for the people around them? I mean, you've got some receivers on that list that are great receivers, but do they elevate the guys around them because they're the ones that are drawing attention because they're always in the right place? It's not just a matter of you're throwing them jump balls and they're taking balls away from other, defenders because we've seen it. I mean, there have been great receivers on terrible, terrible teams many, many times.
Yeah.
But do they have a running mate? How do they fit into the offense? Is it just a one-man show where you throw the ball to him and, he can go up and get it, but no, he's not creating space for anybody else? I mean, it's just that receiver just is an outlier, is a unicorn. To me, it's how Worthy fits into this, how he buys into the offense. It's really going to determine his value. because if he, I mean, in an Andy Reid offense, you've got to follow the script perfectly.
I mean,
I get it. Travis Kelce doesn't, but it took Travis Kelce, he'll tell you, like 6 years to figure out how to do that. So, you know, that to me is if Worthy can get it all down and be in the right place and run the routes correctly and know that, hey, not every ball is coming to him, that sometimes he's supposed to be trying to help make sure that other guys get open. That's his role on this field. And then he's going to be a great fit for this team. I mean, there's so many numbers that point to the fact that he's the perfect guy for this offense. And that's why if I'm the Chiefs, no, there's other receivers I wouldn't have taken because they are another Rashee Rice or they're just another Hollywood Brown or an imitation thereof. I think that right after Worthy, you saw the Xavier Worthy, you know, imitators go off the board. Who do you get if, you know, Xavier Worthy isn't there when you draft? Well, Pearsall. So, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just I can't – to a certain degree, I'm still looking back on it. And it made sense before the draft, but now once once a guy like Worthy is on your team and you start looking at it, and it's like, gosh, how did the rest of the NFL let this happen?
Well, one more on this one, and then, Sterling, I want to hear you weigh in on it. The same website that had the plot graphs of the average depth of target taken into account, the yards per reception, and they rated Xavier Worthy as the sixth best wide receiver with a second-round grade. But here's the write-up at the end. So it's a long, exhaustive analytical breakdown of every wide receiver. And so I went there just to see what the breakdown was of Xavier Worthy, and it is exhaustive. It talks about the pros. It talks about the negatives. It talks about the slide of build. Body mass index is really low on the scale of wide receivers who were successful in the NFL. Typically aren't the lower body. But anyway, the conclusion. Truthfully, I think the combine hurt Worthy more than it helped him in my eyes. But Worthy's profile was quite strong for this class and well ahead of any other wide receiver we'll discuss. I labeled him as a second-round receiver because he's going to be massively landing spot dependent. So don't be surprised if I bump him up or down by more than a few spots after the draft. And again, may God have mercy on our souls if he lands in Kansas City. That one was the kicker. That was the dismount there for him in saying he's a second round receiver because he's dependent on the role he's going to play and what offense brings him in and how they use him. I'll move him up or down my board and how good of a receiver he can be depending on where he lands. And may God have mercy on our souls if he lands in Kansas City.
And I completely agree to his point that hey, getting the record I'm sure meant a lot to him and it was fun for him and there were probably some teams and the Chiefs among them. That probably, you know, gave him an intangible plus one point on that because it's like, hey, this kid's competitive. He wanted the record, so he went to go get it. But how many other, you know, teams and scouts were like, that body mass index stinks. I mean, look how slim he is and look how skinny he is. Well, I mean, and like I said, I'm guilty of it too, of projecting that. I'll be one of the jerks bombarding him with weight questions, you know, when he gets into Kansas City.
Which weight you put on?
Starting this weekend put with the mini camp. But just where he's comfortable at. Because honestly, yeah, would he have gone earlier in the draft had he gone to the combine and ran a 4.29 at 172? Yeah, I think he's probably a top 20 receiver if he does that. So maybe he did hurt himself. I mean, he's still a first-round guy, so, you know, it's all, I think, comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
And obviously he ends up exactly where he wanted and needed
That's
to
right.
be, I think, to be the best version of himself as a receiver. But, yeah.
Who knows, if he runs that and is that a little bit bigger, maybe he's in Miami now at pick number 21.
I have no doubt that there are probably some teams that just didn't, you know, don't really go into the thinking of it too much and put down that 165 combine weight. Even if they put the 169 pro day weight, I mean, they're still going to say too light. Whereas the Chiefs are willing to say, yeah, you know what? He can put 16 pounds on, and maybe he's still going to be a 4.3 guy. He's still going to be faster than most of the guys on the field.
Well, Sterling, real quick, and then I do want to have you weigh in. But Eric DaCosta mentioned that they weren't drafting Worthy because he was Zay Flowers, and they want a diverse wide receiver room. They went and got Devontae Walker from North Carolina, who's 6'1", 195.
And would I take him if I have Rashee Rice? No.
No, exactly.
No.
Exactly. So the Chiefs looking, and they've got Hollywood Brown for 1 year, Sterling.
Right. What I think is interesting is I don't view Xavier Worthy and Zay Flowers in the same light. Outside of them both being undersized, Zay Flowers is a slot receiver. Like, that's where he thrives. Xavier Worthy is not that guy. You're not putting Xavier Worthy in the slot. At least I don't believe that's the way he's going to be used. And you get these Tyreek Hill and DeSean Jackson comparisons because we know the name. They've had long enough NFL careers that we can point to those guys and say, well, yeah, that's who we think this guy is going to be like. But I think Tank Dell is the perfect comparison for Xavier Worthy. Like, I think Xavier Worthy and Tank Dell, both undersized guys who play on the outside, but no one's going to point to Tank Dell because Tank Dell has only played 1 year in the NFL. I think if you want a comparison, it's not Zay Flowers. It's not going to be Tyreek or even to an extent DeSean Jackson. I think it's going to be what Tank Dell did last year with Houston. Because Tank Dell is an undersized guy who plays on the outside. He's playing with a quarterback who has a phenomenal arm in an offense that values throwing the ball down the field. I truthfully believe that you're going to see Xavier Worthy the exact same light that we saw Tank Dell in last year in Houston, which, again, for me, phenomenal right here in Kansas City.
Last one, and then I want to get Matt's thoughts on Jared Wiley. The Zay Flowers thing, and you're right about sort of different positional usage and things like that. Here was the direct comparison side by side, Xavier Worthy, Zay Flowers. And again, this was more analytical, as in, like, this is his profile in college, this is his profile in receptions and yards after catch and average depth of target, etc. So the first number I'll give you is Worthy, the second number is Flowers. Yards per route run, 2.21, 2.2. First downs per target, 0.35, 0.34. Reception percentage, 59, 58. Average depth of target, 13.7, 13. Yards after catch per reception, 7.3, 7. Lining up out wide, 69%, nice, 68%. Wide yards per reception per route run, 2.25, 2.25. In the slot, 31%, 34%. Slot yards per route run, 2.12, 2. Yards per game, 71, 64. Routes per game, 31, 30. And contested target rate, 13%, 12%. So I think that's where they're like, hey, this is Zay Flowers in terms of those analytical comparisons. And DaCosta may be looking and saying, hey, we view this guy in a usage, how we'll use him. So like you're talking about, Sterling, the Chiefs may utilize Xavier Worthy different than what the Ravens are using Zay Flowers. The Ravens looked at it and said, we would use Zay Flowers or Xavier Worthy the way we're using Flowers right now.
Sure, and that's a very, very good point. Because, again, how would they have viewed Tank Dell then, right? Would they have used Tank Dell in a Zay Flowers role as well? Because I think all three of those guys probably have a very similar player profile. But, yeah, I do find that fascinating because, again, I would not expect to see Xavier Worthy line up in the slot more than, what, maybe 15, 20% of the time in the NFL?
Like I think I'm going to see him a lot just running back and forth.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's going to start at the Z receiver spot, and that's the guy that, you know, lines up off the line, so he is absolutely going to be the guy that is in motion quite a bit, you know, the jet sweeps, the orbits, a lot of those plays. I mean, it's going to be his ball of wax, and but they're also going to rotate him through, and so like Sterling said, he might end up playing 15% of his snaps in the slot. I mean, he's going to play there too, but I think he's, you know, Tyreek, what, put up 583 yards, I think, as a rookie. He only played 41% of the snaps as a rookie. I think Worthy can play more than that. I think he's better prepared. So he's got, and certainly with this team, I think he is better situated to play a lot of snaps. So let's see what happens, especially being able to play the Z and the fact that he played all three positions in college because he lined up everywhere. So he's got some experience with that. Now, that learning this particular offense and terminology will be a challenge for him. But also seems like they have a high football IQ. So I think he really can handle it. But one of the things I've heard about him that I think is, and once again, this brings up the Tyreek example, but I think it's at least notable, is that this kid just has no off button. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is an energizer bunny.
Wants to stay on the field every play and runs all the routes and is like Tyreek and just runs.
And no offense to anybody in that room the last couple of years, because they got two Super Bowl rings, so obviously they weren't doing anything terribly wrong. But that's something I think the Chiefs miss in their receiver room, is the Tyreek lighting a fire under everybody. Because when he's out there and he's jogging around you, well, in gassers and just, you know, running up and down the field and running circles around you and pushing, I mean, the first guy on the field, last one off, and going 110% every single time, when you got that around you pushing you, you're going to be doing it too. So I think it's good for the receivers around him, because even if, I mean, don't expect Xavier Worthy to come in as a leader. leadership-wise in year one. But can he be that spark? Can he be that high-energy giver guy that the Chiefs love and Tyreek was? Yeah, I mean, I think he could have an influence in that room on the other guys just with that alone.
What does Jared Wiley bring to the table for the Chiefs offense?
I mean, the size is the big one to me because Noah Gray is a nice tight end. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But for the same reasons we would look at a lot of the other metrics, you know, look at the graph chart of tight ends who are 6'3 or shorter in the NFL today.
Yep.
And it is not a good comparison. I mean, you have Evan Engram in the top right of the the blot chart.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yep.
So, you know, and Noah Gray would be kind of in the middle. I mean, Noah Gray is three catches for 45 yards. That is what you're going to get at best with Noah Gray. I mean, there's no knock about that. Every team needs a Noah Gray. There's no doubt about that. Can Jared Wiley be more than that? Yeah, because he's a big-bodied target. Even last year, you know, the Chiefs were trying to use Justin Ross in that kind of Jody Fortson red zone kind of way. You know, wasn't really getting it. I mean, I think Jared Wiley can do this. So now, you know, like when those – I mean, we talked about Jody Fortson in that way. I mean, it wasn't a ton of snaps, but every time he and Travis Kelce were on the field at the same time, you were like, wait a minute, in the red zone, you got something going here. Wiley can do that. So, you know, you run a little 12 personnel, you know, you now got two big body targets that you can throw to, short yardage situations the same. As a blocker, really exciting because he does seem to care about blocking. He's got the youth and the strength to throw his enthusiasm into it, so I like that. Better hands than I think people acknowledge and recognize about him. Is he Travis Kelce? No. There's no other Travis Kelce out there. But do you now have a body that you can put out there that can do some of the things that Travis did and make some of the catches that maybe Travis did in his first 4 years? You know, let's not say Travis of the last, you know, six, because this Travis is a unicorn again. But, I mean, this is the first guy that the Chiefs have had at a tight end for a while that I could say, well, you know what, you could take Travis Kelce off the field for a drive or two and give him a rest and not change the playbook.
I know we'll let you go, but it's a combination thing for me with Jared Wiley and adding in whether it's Hollywood or Xavier, and certainly both of them. You mentioned Noah Gray, you know, a nice second or third tight end. They bring in Herb Smith. Because did they know they were going to get Jared Wiley or a tight end in the draft? They probably, you know, you bring in Herb Smith because if he's your third guy, okay, great. If he's your fourth guy, even better. We know they love their 12 personnel. We know they played even more 13 personnel in the playoffs than they did all year long. Maybe that was because of the cold. Maybe that was just because of the adjustment that they made of this is how we're going to have to be successful, is running the ball a little bit more, using the wide receivers we have in Rashee Rice, and not have three wide receivers out there and relying on them and just Travis Kelce. So if Jared Wiley's in the game and they're running 12 personnel with somebody who can block as well as he's expected to block and also is that 6'6" target and run routes better than Blake Bell, the difference between having, let's say, Kelce, Gray, and Wiley, or excuse me, Kelce, Gray, and Bell, and now Kelce, Gray, and Wiley, and having Rashee Rice and Justin Watson out there on the field, or Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy. Because you're going 12 or 13 personnel, you're making them bigger. You're bringing linebackers, bigger safeties if need be. You can't just sit back in nickel or dime if you've got 12 and 13 personnel. Justin Watson didn't scare anybody. So you can be in a bigger defensive alignment and bring them closer to the line of scrimmage and say, run the ball. You know, run the ball. I know that you've been somewhat successful in 13 personnel in running the ball, but adding in somebody else that can run routes in Wiley, and adding in somebody that's like, okay, you're not going to respect him deep, you're screwed. You're toast. Hollywood and Xavier are going to be too deep. Rashee Rice can work the middle. Wiley and Gray and Kelce can all be route runners now as opposed to, you know, Blake Bell last year that was a really good blocker. That's where my excitement level for the offense comes in, is because those things coexisting now where they had one or the other and oftentimes neither, and it was just trying to pull teeth to get points on the board. Now they put the defense in such a bind in having multiple ways. We'll go big, you go big, we're bringing a guy that runs 4-2-1 or 4-2-9 on the field. You go small, or we go small, you go small, that's fine. We can still run it right at you, but we also have Kelce and we got other guys and Rashee Rice that can make some plays and make some catches.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, one of the reasons why the defenses last year I mean, they were still using 5, 6, 7 defensive backs sometimes on the field, but they weren't using the two deep shells as much as they had in the past because the Chiefs had figured it out.
Yeah.
It had taken them a while, but the Chiefs finally figured that out. So they figured out how to beat it. So last year, you saw teams using a lot more cover one, a lot more zero than they had in the past, and the Chiefs really struggled with that. They kind of started figuring out in the postseason, so maybe that's a sign towards this year that – hey, wait a minute, defensive coordinators are going to go back to the drawing board to figure out how to stop the Chiefs' offense again. But now when you bring in Worthy and you bring in a guy like Wiley, exactly. I mean, the last couple of years, I think the Chiefs, especially since Tyreek left, they've had difficulty creating as many mismatches as they used to. Mm-hmm. So now I think you've got the personnel, especially when, you know, last year Kelce was not himself. I mean, he had a phenomenal year considering that if that dude was 70% at any point during the season, I'd be impressed. Because that knee injury just hosed him up from the beginning. So you think about that. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs can offer, I think, mismatches this year that they just couldn't in the past.
Matt Derrick, presented by Cap One Lending. Matt, you're the man. We've kept you way too long. Thank you for hanging out and staying with us.
We didn't even get to talk about my two favorite picks.
Who are your two favorite picks in this draft?
I love Jaden Hicks.
Yeah, I wrote down. I wanted to get Jaden Hicks. I've got like 10 things to talk about. Yeah.
And I know people are getting on me and everything because they don't think he's as fast. But I'm telling you, Kamal Hayden is a carbon copy of Legarius Sneed in every single way. And the only thing that people can come back at me is say that he ran a 4.57 in the 40 at his pro day. And I think Kelce or Sneed's was a 4.37. Mm-hmm. So that's a big gap. Yeah, he also wasn't healthy enough at the combine to run the 40. So he had only been really healthy enough for a couple of weeks with a shoulder injury to really even run. So you're telling me that he's going to be running a 4.57 in July? No, I think he's going to be just as fast as Sneed. I mean, because their split was dead even. Their 10-yard split was fine. And as I point out, I mean, the only time that you really need your safety to be or your corner to run 40 yards downfield is when they've been beat. So I don't care.
At full speed, yeah.
I don't really care about your 40 time that much. I care about your 10-yard split. His 10-yard split is the exact same as Sneed's. And they're almost the exact same size except Hayden's taller.
Ball knower. Yep. That's a ball knower right there.
There you go, Sterling.
You know ball.
See, we're not so different. We can be friends.
Dude, that pick is phenomenal. We're not going to take a break because I'm going to talk about this for 20 more minutes with Matt Derrick. Matt, you got some time to talk it now.
Yeah, Sterling, you're speaking his language. Sterling is a huge Kamal Hayden fan. Or Haddon. Is it Haddon? I think it's Haddon, right? I want to say Hayden, but there's two D's there.
See, I knew a Hayden that was spelled that way, so he pronounced it Hayden. So I keep saying Hayden, and then people keep calling it different ways. But then Eric DaCosta came up with a third pronunciation for us on Kingsley's last name. So
yeah, that's right. I still don't know how to say Dana or Dana. I don't know which one it is. So I mean, Haddon or Hayden for the next 5 years will be. I'll go back and forth.
I think I finally figured out it's Dana, but I could be wrong.
Okay, Mike Dana.
The rest of the NFL wish that they had Haddon. They're gonna wish they hadn't. That's bad. Sorry, that's on me, boys. That's on me.
That was bad, is what that was. Matt Derrick, presented by Cap One Lending. 41 is the Mike Podcast and Chiefs Digest. As always, love having you on. And the hour is never enough, which is why we had you go a little overtime with us today. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always, brother.
Oh, always a pleasure, my friends. Take care.
All right, there's Matt Derrick hanging out with us. We are at Trailside RV in Grain Valley, just off I-70, exit 24 in Grain Valley. They've got the 40th anniversary celebration kicking off tomorrow, the open house, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m., where there will be parts and service seminars, gifts for each family. They've got door prize drawings for accessories. They've got some other swag as well. And, of course, when you're here to shop, which means they've got special discounts for in-stock parts and accessories, special finance incentives, special anniversary pricing on all RVs in stock, and super manager's special discounts on certain models. We are also getting you registered here till 2 o'clock to win a couple of gift cards to Double Tap. If you stop in, say hi, you can register for that. We got some other 810 swag you can take home with you as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Matt has agreed to stay till 4 o'clock today. Can you believe that? He agreed to stay till 4 and do the first 2 hours with Soren. This is crazy, man. I tell you what, he is a worker. Never stops. Never not working. It's Pat and Troy Polamalu. Never not working. That guy. No, he is. He's got things to do, man. Are you kidding me, Sterling? He's got stuff to do. He was already a mensch for staying as long as he did. We're hanging out at Trailside RV off I-70, exit 24 in Grain Valley. Trailside RV, the spot if you want to learn more about Trailside RV. But if you're thinking about an RV, you're in the market, going to be in the market, thinking maybe you might be in the market. Who knows? Trailside RV kicking off their 40th anniversary celebration with their open house. 40th anniversary open house tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock. There'll be parts and service seminars, gifts for each family, door prize drawings, accessories. They'll have some swag. They'll have special discounts for in-stock parts and accessories, special finance incentives, special anniversary pricing on all RVs in stock, and Supermanager special discounts on certain models. And I've been told that there may or may not be a drawing to win an RV excursion with Travis and Taylor. There may or may not be that. I'm not saying there will be. I don't know if there will or won't be, but there's only one way you can find out, and that's to come down and see.
Dog, know? I don't know if I want to third wheel that. Like, I don't know if I want to be in the...
You'd want a third wheel.
You think I
You'd
do?
Be fine.
You think I'd be fine?
Well, it can be you and a friend. I mean, you can third and fourth wheel. It could be a double date for you and the fiance.
It'd be hilarious if it was just one person, just one, and you got to sit there, and you're just like, hey, you guys want to play cards?
It'd be great, you know? That would be awesome. Dylan, was that in my ear or over the air? Well, why don't you say it over the air?
Oh, we have to take a break already, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Just because we have we took a 40-minute first segment. That's kind of what happened.
But I wanted you to say it the way you said it in my ear. I wish people could have heard it because as we're talking, Dylan goes, break already.
Yeah. I heard him whisper sweet nothings in your ear, and I'm like, I can't even hear this. This is great. Jason and Dylan have their own secret conversation
we're just
going
gossiping
on.
Gossiping about, you know, stuff. Not you. But it was, definitely not you. We're just talking.
No, Sterling, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't talk
absolutely
about it behind
not.
Your back. We'd tell you right to your face. It just came across so clear and loud in my ear that I thought maybe it was over the air. I also was hoping that it was over the air.
Just
to the delivery.
I did that because I thought you wouldn't even believe me if I was saying that in the normal way. Like if I just did the normal break, you would have been like, he didn't.
I know we went a little long there with,
well, Matt Derrick.
43 minutes?
Right.
Is 43 minutes a long segment? I don't know.
Not for me.
I can ask Matt Derrick football questions for hours. So,
hey, you can ask Drake. I mean, when I moved away in 2010, I mean, there weren't any commercials. I was doing 3 hours straight. I was like, let's do it, man.
You were podcasting before people were podcasting.
You're damn right. Turn on the mic and I'll roll. I mean, I told him to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal.
Okay, no, we're not letting him do Vanilla Ice. Dylan.
What are you talking about?
Dylan.
That's not Vanilla Ice. I was just telling you what was happening when I moved. That's what was happening on the air because there weren't commercials. Why would you think I was doing? I mean, that's fine. We'll take a time out, and you guys can take heed because I'm a lyrical poet. Get it up. All right, I'm up. We good? Good? Is it me? Is it Sterling? Should I go, Dylan? Sterling going? Or are we going to have Matt Derrick on one more time? You know what? I'll just do it. Whether we're on the air or not, I'll just let everybody know we're at Trailside RV right now until 2 o'clock. TrailsideRV.com is where you can go. They've got the 40th anniversary open house tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They got parts and service seminars, gifts for the family, door prize drawings for accessories. And, of course, if you're here, you're looking at RVs, and they've got special finance incentives, special anniversary pricing on all RVs in stock, special discounts for in-stock parts and accessories as well. It is right off I-70, exit 24 in Grain Valley. We take a timeout. We come back. More Zone next. We'll hear from Laird Veach. He was on the Border Patrol this morning.